Come on, I know there's, you were up here, so come on up. Come right up here and sit in this front row. I promise you I won't make an embarrassment out of you. Your daddy can come too. Is that it? All right, well, it's just gonna be the three, and then those of you who decided to stay back in your parents' laps, that's fine too. All right, so I'm gonna start something new here. It's gonna be a tradition that we'll do on Christmas service, and basically what I'm gonna do for you little ones is I'm gonna read the Christmas story. So Luke chapter 2, you guys, you've heard that before, right? They're like, they don't know what to think. All right, so this is for you. Okay, you guys listen along. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. What is a decree? What do you think a decree is? It's an order. Okay, we could say it's an order. So he gave out an order that everybody is going to be taxed. Verse 2, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David. Who was Joseph? Yeah. Okay, Jesus' dad. Yeah, so he was his earthly dad. It's like it was like his stepdad, if you will. We'll talk more about that in the message. All right. Verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son. Who is that? Jesus. Okay. She brought forth her firstborn son. And wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. They were afraid. Why were they afraid? Wait, because of the light? Maybe. There was a lot of them, probably, right? And so all of a sudden, there's all these angels in the sky, and they're thinking, whoa, what is going on? We've never seen something like this before. And so they're a little scared, okay? Goes on to say in verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I have some good news, they're saying. In verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe, Jesus, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. I like to imagine things. I think I've told you guys this before. I like to imagine that there was all these angels and they're just singing really loud and praising God, and it was just beautiful music. Verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. So, that is the story. Okay. Now, is this just some fictional story? You know what fictional means? Yeah. I just realized I probably said a word that you didn't know. Is this a true story? Okay, this is a very true story, right? And that's what we celebrate at Christmas, right? Is we celebrate Jesus coming and him being born humbly and being born and placed in a manger. And he did that. Why? Why did he do that? Yeah. That's right. He did that to die on the cross for everyone's sins. See, we all are sinners. You are sinners. Yeah. Yep. They're like, no. You're a sinner. Okay. I'm a sinner. Your mommy and daddies are sinners. Your grandma and grandpas are sinners. We're all sinners. We were born that way. You know that? Did you have to learn how to lie? Did someone teach you? Did you figure that out by yourself? Addie, I can answer that for you. All right. So, we didn't have to learn to sin. We were born sinners. But you know what was neat about the birth of Jesus? The virgin birth of Jesus? Meaning he was not born of man. He was born of the Holy Spirit. And so he was not born a sinner. Isn't that neat? Okay. So because of our sin, we needed Jesus to come and live a sinless life and be our perfect, spotless lamb, sinless lamb, so that we can go to heaven when we die. And all we have to do is believe. And I hope you have done that. All right, you guys can go down to junior church. Third grade on down, you can go on down to junior church. Go ahead. They didn't know what to think about that. All right. It's really been a wonderful morning so far, hasn't it? Wonderful music. Thank you so much for all the hard work that you guys put into that. I know that the junior church, they've been working on it for months, and then so has the choir. Thank you for directing it, Laura. Thank you for playing, Scarlett. It was just beautiful time of listening to the wonderful music, and the story of Christmas is kind of throughout those songs. And just so you know, that service that you guys do, and singing and playing music, and that stuff doesn't go unnoticed. God sees that, and he's blessed by that. And so, again, thank you so much for that. I enjoyed reading the Christmas story to the children. I hope that becomes something fun for them in the years to come. They're not so scared about it. But honestly, when you read that story, the Christmas story, this true story, it never gets old, does it? It's an amazing account that happened, that Jesus came. And this morning, I'd like us to go back to John chapter 1 and verse 14. And then after that, you can turn back to Luke, because we're going to be in Luke the rest of the time. But John chapter 1 and verse 14, I'll read it again, and then I'll pray and ask the Lord to bless this time in the Word. Verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In this verse, it describes for us the Word was made flesh. The Word there is speaking of Jesus Christ. He came to this earth, was born in a stable, and was wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger. Okay, he was made flesh for us. Simply referring to Jesus there, the Word. And he became flesh. We beheld his glory while he was here. And the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So you can turn back to Luke 2, where we'll be the rest of the time. But let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you and praise you so much for this wonderful day that we get to celebrate your birth and really your birthday. And Lord, we thank you so much for your coming and the reason for your coming. Lord, we thank you for the beautiful music we were able to hear this morning as well. And Lord, we just want to take this time now and just look at the humbleness of your coming. And Lord, I pray that you would just open our hearts and minds to your word. Lord, if there's somebody here today who has never put their faith, their trust, their complete dependence upon you for their salvation, I pray that today would be that day. I pray that they would understand that it's all they have to do is believe. There's no good works involved. It's just belief. So Lord, I pray that this would be very clear and that we would walk away being blessed by what you've done for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I want to talk to you for a moment about Jesus' coming as a baby. And In his coming, there was a lot of humility. There was a lot of humbleness in Jesus' coming. I'm going to look at three aspects of humility this morning in his coming. The first is humility in his beginning, as a baby, in a manger. There was definitely some humility in his coming, in his beginning. But then also his humbleness in his upbringing, and then lastly, his humility displayed in his death. So let's talk first of all about his beginning, his humble beginning. I think of Jesus' humble beginning. We just read the Christmas story, and I'm not going to rehash that whole thing to you again, but thinking about Jesus leaving the splendor of heaven, where he was the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, where he was magnified, glorified, lifted up, and praised, and it's all about him up there, right? And then he comes to earth. He leaves a perfect heaven. When you think about heaven, for instance, heaven is we know what the Bible has to say about heaven, but I don't think we're quite going to grasp it until we get there. But some of the things the Bible has to say about heaven is you have gold streets. I mean, could you imagine that? Could you imagine gates of pearl? I mean, it's just going to be absolutely gorgeous. There's not going to be any sin in heaven. It's going to be perfect. Perfect. He left the perfect heaven to come to this sin-cursed world. In fact, the Bible says in Philippians that he humbled himself and he became obedient. He became a servant and was made in the likeness of man. He became a servant. The King of Kings, Lord of Lords, left heaven to be born humbly and become a servant. This is a demonstration of humility. But let's just look at where he came from heaven. But let's look how he came and then what he even wore when he came. Think about this for a moment. The King of Kings, Lord of Lords, was born in a stable and placed into a manger. But before he was placed into a manger, he was wrapped in humble clothing. Luke 2:7, it says that, and she brought forth her firstborn son, Jesus, okay, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. This indicates a humble beginning. Okay, notice what we see here, he's wrapped in swaddling clothes. All right, this indicates that Mary and Joseph didn't have a lot, wrapped in swaddling clothes. The Greek word for translated swaddling indicates that these were pieces of old, cast-off clothing. Okay, old clothes that they would tear, that they tore up, ripped up, cut up somehow, and wrapped them in old clothing. Stuff that you would want to throw away. That's what they wrapped him in. So basically we could say the Son of God, Jesus, was wrapped in old rags. It's not really what we picture, right, with our nativity scenes. Most often we see Jesus wrapped in a nice, beautiful, spotless, white, comfy blanket. It looks nice and comfy, but in reality, he was wrapped in clothing that was torn into pieces. Old clothing. It was a humble beginning. Luke 2:7 goes on to say that they laid him in a manger. Okay? A manger. What this is telling us is that Jesus was born in a place where there were animals. If he was born in a place where there's a manger, it's a place where there's animals. Because the manger was something that animals would eat from. Okay, it's like a trough, a food trough, if you will. And so that's where he was born and placed into. We can assume that this was probably not the most quiet of places. You know, if there was animals in there, they could have been loud, making noises. You could assume that it probably wasn't the cleanest place. We can assume that it was probably not the best smelling place. Okay, and yet this is where Jesus was born. This demonstrated his humility in his beginning. If you're a regular tender here, you understand that I like to imagine when I read scripture. I like to put myself into the story and kind of picture all of this. So I'd like you to do the same thing this morning with me. I've already done it, but I'm going to have you do it too. So if you just close your eyes for a moment, close your eyes, and I want you to picture in your own mind, based upon what I just said, what this would have looked like. Okay? Now, don't picture in your mind some glamorous setting that we see at Christmas pageants. Okay? Because that's not what it was like. Try to picture in reality what this would have looked like. Jesus being wrapped in old clothes, cut up old clothes. Jesus being in a food trough, manger. Picture the animals. Picture the. Try to understand what the smell would look like, what the sounds would be like, and understand that this was a humble beginning. Now you can open your eyes. Did you see it? Did you kind of try to grasp what this would have looked like? What this would have been? This was a humble beginning, wasn't it? It's not like what we have. You know, I think of my children's births. Both of my children had, you know, pretty normal births. My daughter was born in a big hospital in Pittsburgh, massive hospital. I'm not sure how many births they even do a day, but a lot. And then Bradley was born in Tomo, Wisconsin, in a nice hospital. Okay, not what we would expect. Jesus would be born into it, but he was born into a, not even in a comfy home, right? He was in a stable and placed in a manger, wrapped in old rags. Humble beginning. Let's talk about his humble upbringing for just a moment. First of all, understand that Joseph and Mary wouldn't have had a lot of monetary things. Okay, it doesn't mean that they were necessarily poor, but it does mean that they weren't rich by any means. Joseph was a carpenter. That was his trade. He had to work very hard to earn a living as a carpenter. He would have to have sweat and work hard to earn his money for his living. And Jesus, being born in that house, he would have learned the trade as well. And he would have had to have learned how to work, and he would have sweat. And I'm not saying that hard work's a bad thing, because it's a wonderful thing, but knowing who Jesus is, the Son of God, left heaven to come and humble himself and work hard as a man. It's humbling, right? He had to humble himself. It's also believed that Joseph and Mary didn't have too much, at least at the beginning of their marriage. The proof of this is found in their sacrifice that they made. They after Jesus was born, before his circumcision, there was a sacrifice that had to be made, and they offered the smaller of sacrifices. Leviticus chapter 12 and verse 8 states that two turtle doves or pigeons were satisfactory for those who couldn't afford to provide for themselves a lamb. So they would offer a turtle dove or a pigeon. But in Luke chapter 2, which you're there, in Luke chapter 2 verse 24, it states that their sacrificial animals were pigeons or turtle doves. So they didn't have a lamb. They couldn't afford a lamb. They gave what they could afford. So it's my belief, at least at the beginning, of that they didn't have much. And later on, as we watch Jesus grow up, as he started his ministry, even says that foxes have their holes, they have their dens, but not even the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. Right? He had a humble upbringing. But let's talk about his death for a moment. I realize this is a Christmas message, and you know, we talk about Jesus being born in a manger and we celebrate that, but why did he do that? Why did he come and be born in a manger? So let's talk about his death for a moment. I understand what I'm about to say comes in no particular order, but I'm just going to describe for you what his death would have looked like. Leading up to his death, the Bible says that they would put something over his head. This is right after during the Sanhedrin Council and all this, during this time. They put something over his head, and which would cover his eyes, and they would punch him in the face, and he would have to figure out who was the one punching him. They would do that over and over and over again. It also says that they would take handfuls of his beard and just yank it out. Those of us with beards in here understand that it hurts when your beard just gets caught in something, let alone having somebody grab a handful and just yank it out. It's humiliating. for him. It says that they mocked him by placing a crown of thorns on his head. Not just putting it on his head, but beating it onto his head with a rod. And they would mock him, call him King of the Jews. This was humiliating. At this point, you can imagine the face of Jesus, just in the things I've described now, would have been unrecognizable. You know, when your kid, when your child has a head injury and it bleeds a lot, well, you can imagine all around his whole head was thorns being dug in, so the blood was just all over his face, all running down. His face would have been all mangled from the beating he just took. His face would have had chunks of flesh ripped out from the grabbing of the beard and yanking it out. This was humiliating. They also whipped him. Scourged him. And the Romans were notorious for knowing how to do this well. They would strip off his clothes, basically had nothing on, and put his hands up over his head so that he would stretch his skin. So that when they took that whip and scourged him, it would do the most damage. I'm not going to explain all the details of the scourging, but suffice it to say that the body, front and back, would have been whipped, would have been scourged, and he would have been totally mutilated. This would have been humiliating. And they placed him on that cross. They mocked him, put a sign above his head, mocked him, spit at him. And he died between two thieves, two criminals. This demonstrated his humility. I think about that song, 10,000 Angels, and I think, and I don't know if that's true or not, but I think it's a good picture. Jesus, you know, the angels are there, perhaps at the edge of heaven, waiting for that call. Come down. And Jesus just say, okay, this is enough. Enough is enough. But he needed to do this. He showed his humility by just taking it. So this is how Jesus came. He came in humility. He had a humble beginning, a humble upbringing, a humble death. But now I want to get to the crux of the matter. I want to ask you a simple question this morning. Why? Why did he come as a baby? Why did he live a humble life? Why did he die a humiliating death? Why did he do this? What was his purpose? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I've been waiting all morning to tell you. Basically, he came because we needed him to. We needed him. It's like I mentioned the other night, the school program. He was literally born so that he could die. Right? It's a song we sing at Christmas time sometimes. He was born to die. Why? Because we have a sin debt that we could not pay on our own. We are sinners, just like I was just mentioning to the little ones. And we were born sinners. Those of us who have children understand that. And those of us who have lived understand that we are sinners. It's because sin was passed on to all of us because of Adam's sin. Right? In other words, because of Adam, we are now all sinners. So we needed a perfect, sinless, spotless lamb to die in our place, to pay the penalty that we could not pay. And like I said, the little ones, that's what's so special about the virgin birth, because Jesus was not born of man. He was born of the Holy Ghost, which made it possible for him not to be born a sinner like the rest of us. So Christ was born, not born of man. He was born of the Holy Spirit, but he lived here for 33 and a half years. It says that he was tempted in all points like we are. He experienced what we experience. That was teaching Christology in the junior and senior high, and you think about his life growing up, and he experienced adolescence. He experienced the change of life, you know. He experienced all of that. But throughout all of that as well, he was tempted, yet he never sinned. Never once. So the difference between us and him is he never sinned. We're tempted, but we never sinned, or he never sinned. We must understand that Jesus is the only one, the only way for our salvation. He is also, you think about Jesus being born in a manger for us, you know, he is the greatest gift ever given, right? The greatest gift. The best gift you could ever receive is the gift of eternal life, right? And you get that through believing Jesus. Now, let's say I had a Christmas tree up here this morning, right here. And underneath that Christmas tree was presents. And there's a present for every single person in this room. And I had spent a long time wrapping those gifts and making them just right. And if you know me, I don't wrap gifts very well. But let's say I just did it just perfectly, and I have a nice little bow, gold ribbon bow or whatever on there, and it has your name on there. And I say, Dennis, come up and get your present. I want you to take your present. And Dennis comes up to the tree, and he's looking at it, and he's looking at his gift, and he's like, oh, yeah, that's a nice gift, Pastor. I like that. That's a pretty. You wrapped that so nice, and it's got a nice little bow on there, and it's got my name, and you spelled it right, and you know, you didn't write Tony. And if you're from our church, you know. But anyway, so you know, this is a nice gift. But then he looks at it, and he goes and sits back down. I'm like, Dennis, this is your gift. Like, take the gift, go home and open the gift. It's yours. Like, receive the gift. And he just like, no, it's nice. Thank you. He goes and sits down. And perhaps there's somebody else in here that does the same thing. They look at the gift and they say, oh, this is nice, but I'm not going to receive it. I can't take it. I'm not going to receive that gift. I think so often. That's what happens, right? We see the gift of Jesus Christ, we see the gift of eternal life, and we don't receive it, we don't take it. It's there, it's free, it's a gift. On Christmas morning, you don't tell your children, okay, it's time to get up, okay, I want you to go do the dishes, I want you to go clean your room, I want you to, you know, you have all these things to do, and after you get done doing it, then, okay, now go open your gifts, and you can open your gifts because of what you've done. We don't do that, right? These are free. These were given as a gift, right? We don't have to work for a gift. These are free. If you're here today and you've never received that gift, you can. You can today, right now. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait till the end of your life and perhaps when you're on your last breath. Reach out to God and say, I believe. You don't have to wait then. You can do it now, and you can experience the fullness of life that you can have as a believer. The Bible says that we all must be saved. In order to be saved, we must believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Believe what? Well, believe the finished work of what Jesus Christ has done for you. Believe that he came, he died, he rose again to pay the penalty for your sin that you could not pay. That's it. Let me say that one more time. All you have to do is believe that he came, died, rose again to pay the penalty of your sins. That's it. Nothing else. Notice no mention of good works. None. No mention of being baptized. The thief on the cross didn't have a chance to be baptized, did he? Yet Jesus said to him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He didn't have a chance to get off of that cross and go get baptized. He didn't have a chance to go do some good works. Right? No. He didn't have that. But yet he had a simple faith, trust, and belief dependence upon Jesus and who he was and what he's done for him. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Through faith. And it says, not of yourselves. Nothing that you and I can do, nothing, is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not works based, because then, you know, John could say, I've done more than you, Pastor, so I should get to heaven. You can't. You know, it's not of works, so that we don't go around boasting. All it takes is faith, trust, dependence on what he has done. And you know what? When you do that, When you put your faith and trust in Him, the Bible promises you that you will go to heaven when you die. You will. You will spend eternity with God, with Jesus, your Savior, the one who died for you, and forever in heaven you'll spend with Him. So folks, I'm not naive enough to think this morning that everyone in here is a believer. Okay, I'm sure there's a few in here that have never put their faith, their complete dependence on Him, nothing else. I'm sure there's some in here. So if you're here this morning and you've never done that, then today is the day. Don't wait. The Bible says our life is but a vapor. It appears for a time and then vanishes away. It's like that going out in the cold air and you breathe that breath and it's there and then it's gone. It's just, you just have a little bit of time. A little bit. So don't wait. Do it today. If you're here this morning, you feel the Holy Spirit, you feel that little tug at your heartstrings, that's the Holy Spirit. He's working on you. He's drawing you closer to Him. Don't ignore Him. Don't push Him away. Perhaps you've been doing that all your life. You've been pushing that Holy Spirit's prodding. Don't do that anymore. Come to Him. Make the greatest decision that you could ever make in your lifetime. And put your faith and trust in Him. So what is Christmas about? Really, it's about celebrating that perfect gift that came, right? The gift that God would send His only Son. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He loved all of us so much that He gave His only Son to die for us so that we could have eternal life. His only Son. So, come to Him today if you haven't. Believe in Him. Believe in what He's done. It's simple, childlike faith. My daughter's 6 years old, and she's already put her faith and trust in Christ. You don't have to be a rocket science to do this. You don't have to do anything except believe. Believe in what He's done. And if you're a believer this morning, when you're there opening your gifts on Christmas Day, understand and thank God for the greatest gift that He ever gave. Right, it's fun to open gifts and receive gifts, but remember the greatest gift, and thank Him for being that greatest gift. So, if everyone would bow their heads and close their eyes, perhaps you're here this morning and you've never placed your faith and trust, your total dependence on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today. You've never done that. But you need to. But you haven't. And you say, Pastor, would you just pray for me that I would do that today? Would you pray for me that I would place my faith and trust in Christ? Now, I can't pray that for you, and it's not the prayer, there's no special prayer that gets you to heaven. It's just a simple faith. So simple faith. But if you're here today and you say, would you just pray for me that I would make that decision? If you just raise your hand so I can pray for you. Anybody at all? Anybody that's never made that decision, that needs to make that decision today? Okay. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Father, Lord, I thank You and praise You so much for your goodness to us, for sending Your Son to die on the cross for us, sending Him to be born in a manger. Humbly, Lord, what a demonstration of humility throughout Your whole life. And Lord, I think not only is there a lesson for the unbeliever to put their faith and trust in Christ, but today there's a lesson for the believer to live their lives humbly before God. So Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here who has never put their faith and trust in Christ, perhaps they're too afraid or they're nervous and they don't want to raise their hand, Lord, I just pray that they would seek somebody out. Seek a family member out that could lead them to your saving knowledge. Lord, I pray that they would do that. Lord, it's not too late. Today's the day of salvation. So Lord, I pray that they would do that today. Lord, I pray that You would just continue to be with us throughout the remainder of this day and bless our time together in Jesus' name. Amen. This time we're going to do